League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Mapes behind the glass. It's a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I hear it's Sean Mapes' birthday.
Yep.
Esme sent out a company-wide email so we would remember. I'm not doing it from the goodness of my heart. Esme sent out the company-wide email. So how else would I know? I wouldn't have known. Now, here's what I appreciate. I'm not getting you a gift, Mapes. That's weird. Men don't buy men gifts. But what I appreciate you working on your birthday. So hats off to you, working on your birthday.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, I also appreciate Brian for, in honor of my birthday, taking the day off. Mm-hmm. That was very nice of him, too.
That's what's weird to me, is that you work on your birthday, and Brian is not working on what is the opposite of his birthday.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he needs to celebrate, obviously, so, you know, more power to him for that.
I think the greatest present you could be given is the opportunity to work with us.
Is your presence.
As opposed to other situations you may find yourself in here at the station. Happy birthday, Sean.
Thank you, Joel.
You're welcome.
It's a weird birthday gift. Okay. Here you go. Here's more work.
Yeah, but with more fun, better guys to work with.
Do you think Mapes thinks you're more fun than Paul?
No.
So you're not even sincere with what you're saying.
You're really not either, but I'm just saying I already wished Sean a happy birthday earlier, but when you think about it, I mean, at least I think he has more fun on this show.
Speak for yourself. I'm a pretty fun guy. Oh. Let me tell you about all the fun I have. I have tons of fun.
Okay.
I have lots of fun. People look at me and they're like, that is fun. Yeah. That guy right there, that's somebody I'd like to hang out with. That's somebody I'd like to have a drink with, that Branham guy. He is the epitome of fun. Mapes, how old are you? 24, 25?
No, 29.
Oh.
Yeah.
I undershot it there a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, I undershot it there a little bit. I just had a visitor. How you doing?
Are they saying happy birthday to me?
They came in to wish you a happy birthday, Mapes. They have no idea who you are or who I am, but they wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Busy show planned for you today. Just a three-hour celebration of Sean Mapes because he showed up to work on his birthday, and Brian showed up somewhere, not his birthday. Brian did send us a text message today, which I think is, it's your day off. Like, why are you texting us? Go enjoy the day off. Go do whatever you're doing. Don't text us. I thought that was a weird move by Brian. I'm not texting anybody on my day off. I try to put my phone as far away as possible on my day off. So that was weird of him to text us, I think. But a lot going on. Rockets, Warriors, game two of the first round of the Western Conference playoffs coming up later tonight. We'll discuss that. NFL draft is tomorrow. Texans currently slated to pick number 25. I got a kick out of a bunch of these headlines. The rumors were that Nick Caserio is calling for trade-up options. He's also calling to see if there's options to trade back. I can't believe it. Nick Caserio's doing his job as an NFL general manager, kind of reading the tea leaves here, kicking the tires on everything. I am color me stunned. Color me shocked, Blankers, that Nick Caserio's working today. Not doing something that Brian's not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this a million times over. People just look for content, and they're just trying to put out whatever they can to get out there. I guess some people are making it look like they're an insider, like they got some inside scoop. I mean, it's amazing that everybody is going to put all these things out there when, you know, the guys that know, you know, the true hard facts of things or the rumors that are really substantial. I mean, I think those are the guys that are getting calls from the general managers, the agents, the people like that themselves. But you're right. Everybody should be doing that right now. They should all be, you know, kicking every stone and leaving no stone unturned and doing all those kind of things to figure it out. It should be a fun draft. I look forward to it, but I'm also going to be happy that all the mocks are going to be over and we're going to be getting to a point where, you know, real things are going to happen. And you know, as the dominoes fall, and, you know, they said that Shedeur Sanders is one of those dominoes that could change a whole lot of things from a Texans perspective. I'm very interested to see the run on offensive linemen and how quickly they start going by the wayside. And I'm very intrigued by the fact that Caserio, if he is, you know, has highlighted a guy or two he wants to move up for, that he would consider that. I thought that they would move down, trade out of the first round. I thought there might be a couple guys there, but it is going to be fun to watch.
That is, I applaud you. That was a great response to what I set you up with. That's professional. That was really good. Mm. That was fantastic. I read a headline today, Blankers. Mm-hmm. Rumors, other teams interested in trading up and moving back. That was headline on CBS Sports today.
Come on.
A real headline. Like that, I'm being sincere. I tweeted it. I screen grabbed it because I didn't want it to go away. Rumors, other teams interested in trading up and moving back. What do you know? I can't believe it. What a stunner. What a stunner that one. The next thing CBS Sports is going to tell us is that we have to pay taxes every year, that the sun's going to come up tomorrow. What else is CBS Sports going to mansplain to us like other teams are interested in trading up and moving back? That was insane.
That may be one of the most ridiculous headlines I've ever heard in my life.
You say ridiculous? I think it's my favorite. I think it's the favorite headline I've ever seen.
I always rip on Yahoo for the outlandish, you know, clickbait, please click on my story headlines, but that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, that was funny. We'll talk great draft detail a little bit later. Blankers is tired of mocks, so what are we going to do today? We're going to look at a bunch of mocks. I was overwhelmed with draft stuff today, though. Like, I really was. I love the draft every year. I know you do, too. Mm-hmm. I was overwhelmed with all the draft content today. It was a lot. I am eye-deep in draft content. So we'll talk draft today. Brian McDonald, he failed at getting the perennial draft expert, Lance Zierlein, on with us, whatever he was working. So he's gone. I took the reins here. I took the helm. Lance Zierlein will be on our show today. Lance Zierlein will be joining us at some point today to discuss the NFL draft. So Brian couldn't do it. I got it done. The perennial draft expert, Lance Zierlein, will be joining us a little bit later on in the program. But enough draft stuff. We'll get back to that later. A texture, by the way, I looked up the definition of fun, and a picture of Branham popped up. There you have it. There you have it. Checks in the mail, texture. Maybe it's my mother listening. I'm not sure. But, yes, I am the epitome of fun. Astros win a baseball game yesterday. They won back-to-back games. They've won back-to-back series, the Houston Astros. How about the Astros-Jays game two yesterday?
I really found a lot of positives. I loved it. I think the fact that, you know, that Blanco pitched well is the starting point. But more so for me, it's the guys that haven't been hitting all found a way to get at least one hit. You know, Yiner got a hit. Paredes got a home run late. But Peña and Walker, three hits apiece. There's signs of life that the guys that were waiting to kind of wake up and be who we thought they were going to be are starting to hit the baseball a little bit more. Yeah, you'd like to get, you know, more out of Yordan, but Yordan still, you know, I don't think a lot of people worry about. But the fact that you got another solid start where you've been getting solid starts from your starting pitching, your bullpen again was lights out, and your offense started to kind of kick it in gear again. You've got another run production game to talk about, 7, then 5, going, whoa, crooked numbers. That's kind of crazy, but I liked everything about last night.
Yeah, it was, for me, you have to start with Ronel Blanco. Like, it's what the Astros are trying to win by. They're trying to win with their pitching. He was outstanding yesterday. What has been pretty subpar start to his 2025. Even with yesterday's performance, his ERA is still north of 5. But he was fantastic yesterday. The one run, two hits. The dude who spells his name Lukes, but it's pronounced Lucas. What a weirdo. Hit the home run against him. But for me, it was Blanco. Blanco was the story. One run, 6 2/3. This is the Ronel Blanco that the Astros got last year. And if this is the Ronel Blanco they can get for 2025, it is a major boost to the middle bottom of the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this now with the game tonight, and they've got a chance, if they sweep the Blue Jays, to have a 5-1 homestand. And that's the way you kind of turn it around and get a couple games over 500 and start building on some things. But, you know, from the starting pitching to the pitching overall to the fact that the offense is starting to put some runs on the board, there's a lot of things to be encouraged about this team And we talked about a week or so ago about the fact that, hey, people, it's a little too early to start throwing dirt and burying the Astros. But this is kind of more of what I think we expected in terms of a team that's going to be able to compete, that's going to figure out how to get it rolling. And once they get rolling, they're going to be a pretty competitive baseball team.
Yeah, Blanco was outstanding. King came out to get the final out of the seventh. And then Abreu, a perfect eighth. Hader, a perfect ninth. More on those guys later. Christian Walker had three hits. And, like, hits are one thing. I don't think hits are a great predictor stat. Give me a barrel. Give me a ball hitting the ball hard everywhere as to what's going to happen in the future. Obviously, you want the hit in the game that you're playing. But what was encouraging about Walker is that he was hammering the baseball around. Like, the first hit, it hit the base. Like, right. Maybe the second baseman robs him of a hit or whatever. But he was hitting the ball hard left and right. I think he had two at-bats where he hit the ball harder than 100 miles per hour off the bat. That's a good indication that maybe he'll heat up.
Yeah, no, I think sometimes you need the ball that bounces off the base just to kind of get you to take a deep breath and you know, the guys will chuckle with you. But then from there, the fact that he tacks on two more hits, to me, a three-hit game for a guy that sorely needs it is a really good sign. I had talked about early in the season that he was barreling baseballs, but they just were hitting – they were hit at people. But at a certain point, that goes by the wayside too, and you still get some need some knocks. And I think this was a huge step in the right direction for Christian Walker, and I was extremely encouraged to see it happen.
You mentioned Pena. Pena, three hits. No reason to deep dive Jeremy Pena. He's been pretty good.
You going to keep him in the four hole?
For a little bit, why not?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know that it's been like an overwhelming success. Last night, three hits, of course, but it's until we get some more consistency from these other guys, I don't mind it.
Like, I don't love looking at the lineup and seeing Jeremy Pena as my cleanup hitter, but I'm okay to ride it for a couple of weeks. Like, okay. Like I do think batting order is overrated. I do think that we've criminally devalued the cleanup spot, though, as I talk firmly out of both sides of my mouth. They don't really have an ideal cleanup man if they refuse to bat Yordan there, though. Like, if Yordan's batting third and it seems like he's getting better at bats or at least better production batting in the two hole, like, who do you want to bat there? Ideally, it's Christian Walker, but you don't want to hit him there when he's struggling.
Right, right. No, I think that's the biggest thing is the fact that at least Pena is getting, you know, at least a knock a night. He looks like he's consistently putting bat on baseball a little bit right now. So he's kind of a bridge. But, yeah, ideally, I'd like Yordan and Walker to pick it up to the point where Pena can slide down to six or in that pocket right there.
Yeah, long-term, I'm with you. Long-term, I'm with you. But I'm okay doing it temporarily, the Band-Aid to let the other bats get hot. So I'm okay with it in the moment. Isak Paredes, my guy, Isak, with a home run. Played really good defense yesterday, too. The diving play towards the line. Ooh, okay, Isak. All right.
I like it. I don't like that a lot of these dingers are coming in kind of cleanup time late in games, but at the same time, home runs are home runs. And I think he leads the team now in home runs.
Does he with four?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the team lead.
I believe so. So, hopefully that work in progress continues to roll too. But yeah, I kind of chuckled when he hit a home run going, God, it's like of his four home runs, I think three of them came in like cleanup mop up time, but okay, we'll take it.
It used to be the knock on Bagwell. He would hit most of his home runs in mop-up duty when the game was out of hand. So Paredes, you're right, he leads the team with four. I didn't doubt you. I was just curious what the race looked like. You know, Cam Smith's tied for second. Remember we had this debate at the start of the year?
Yeah, we did.
Cam Smith's tied for second for the home run lead for the Houston Astros. Just saying. Isak, four home runs. Guess how many have been into the Crawford boxes?
All of them.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
All four of them have been in the Crawford boxes.
So all the people that said, as a Deadpool hitter, the Crawford boxes are going to be a great place for Paredes. Well, not great, great, but sure.
It's funny.
We kind of anticipated that.
Yeah, it's funny. All right, let's get to one more offensive player, Yiner. Yiner coming around a little bit. The soft line drive down the line, double. But I thought he squared up some baseballs yesterday, too. Maybe some life from Yiner.
Yeah, and right away in his first at-bat, he kind of chased another breaking pitch, and I was like, oh, man. He started shaking his head, and I thought, please don't still be in this funk mentally because it's already tough enough to hit his way out of it. But maybe there are – you know, that's why I said I just was encouraged that he got a hit, period. But hopefully this kind of, again, whether it hits a base in Walker's case or he gets a blooper, whatever it takes to kind of get a little bit positive energy to hopefully get him going in the right direction because I just think he's too good to be hitting this bad this point in the season.
Right, a lot of stuff to get to today. Astro stuff, Rocket stuff, draft stuff, birthday stuff. Busy show. 713-780-ESPN HRP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. I want to dive into the Brian Abreu, Josh Hader usage yesterday. Four-run lead. Used Abreu with a four-run lead in the eighth. Used Hader with a four-run lead in the ninth. Is that prudent from the Astros manager? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You ain't got no haters. You ain't popping. Mapes' birthday. Mapes, in with us. Desert Stroh says, buy that man lunch. I'm not in studio today, so Blankers, you might have to DoorDash Mapes, whatever he wants for lunch.
You wouldn't do it anyway. You said you don't buy guys stuff for their birthday.
I don't. I wouldn't be buying him lunch for his birthday. I'd be buying him lunch for pulling double duty and working with the bees.
Oh, you can expense that.
I don't know if I can.
I mean, Brian Desert does Stroh. It for drinks to pay off bets, so why wouldn't you be able to?
I can't believe he did that. That's the cheapest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Does it surprise you?
I can't get over that. I can't get over that. Yeah, do you know the story, Mapes?
No, I don't.
Brian owed me a beer for a bet, and the beer that he paid up for me was from a remote that we were getting free drinks. I was like, are you kidding me? What are we doing right now? And he's like, yeah, this counts. I was like, whatever, man.
Didn't he set it up first by saying, oh, that's right, I owe you one, but then you found out that he did it?
He told me what he was doing up front, but he was like, I paid for it. I don't care. I didn't net a beer there. Like, you might have, I guess it's not cheap. It's just, it doesn't really benefit the winner of the bet. Like, I didn't net anything there.
You could have gotten that free beer yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I want a beer whenever I'm not getting free beers. It does nothing for me. Desert Stroh says Pena's glove defense is golden. YouTube Keith, B-Mac dye his hair or is that roaring kitty? I don't think Mapes and Brian look anything alike. They do have long, bushy hair, thick hair, but that's about it.
Mapes, how long have you had the long lettuce?
Probably since at least 2021.
Okay.
I think. Where it's been, I guess,
How often do you get a haircut?
About twice a year, maybe three times a year.
Christmas?
Okay.
Thanksgiving. Okay. Thanksgiving.
Starting the holiday season, right?
Yeah, Thanksgiving and last week.
Okay. Ryan says BMAC has awake apnea. That's messed up. Fake Tony Stark, Branham can still DoorDash for Mapes even though you're not there. That's not how it works, Fake. Shut your mouth. You know what? In fact, Fake, you just caught a timeout. You just caught a timeout. 10-minute timeout for you, Fake Tony Stark. What kind of idea is that? It's a terrible idea. Branham's nickname is Mushroom because he's such a fun guy.
Oh, my God. Was that bad? And you guys give me hell. Wow.
I'm laughing because of how bad it was. Keith from L.A., happy birthday, Sean. I'm headed to Chipotle. Any recommendations? He didn't ask to pick you up anything. He's asking for a recommendation.
I did have the honey Chipotle chicken, the new thing that they have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Do you ever eat a Chipotle, Blankers?
Yeah. Yeah, every so often.
You go steak or chicken there?
We go chicken, double chicken with the Mexican Same. Rice
yeah,
and the black beans.
Okay. I go white rice, not Mexican rice there, but similar. I like their chicken more than their steak, and I'm usually very much a steak guy, but their chicken's better than their steak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Very good.
Especially accounting for price, too.
No doubt. It's like a few bucks cheaper, especially if you're going double up on the protein.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Branham. Walker's been hitting the ball hard all season. My bad. The catcher from Seattle has 9 home runs. Cal Raleigh, the big donkey?
The dumper, right?
Oh, the big dumper. Yeah, I always call him dumper. The big donkey.
Yeah, the big dumper.
I like Donkey better. Seattle's 2 games back in the division, though. So are the Astros. Astros are chasing down the Rangers. I mean, 23 games in, you have to be looking at the standings, I think. Never too early to be looking at the standings. There's only so much time you have to make up ground here. So you got to be looking at it early. Texture, I think we should all use code MAPES on Prize Picks for his birthday.
That would help. That'd be the best gift you could give me.
There you go. I think it's a good idea.
Let's and you actually will get stuff for it. So
what do you get, like a little bonus?
You get a keychain?
Yeah, $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Promo code MAPES on Prize Picks.
All right, that's enough. That's enough there, MAPES.
M-A-P-E-S.
MAPES is going into business for himself.
I'm just going to grab that, send that to him.
Ryan says, if J-Bone was a snack food, he would be Funyuns.
Got another one.
Man, these are...
I told you guys I'm fun in a variety of different ways. How'd you feel about Abreu and Hader in a four-run game?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And I thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that he had at least one other guy warming up.
Taylor Scott with an E.
Yeah, before the eighth, to where I was like, well, and they were like, well, you know, it's a four-run game. If they get one more that, or a three-run, one more that I go, why do we need Hader right now if it's already more than a save situation? Like, I'm not using Hader. I'm not using Abreu. There's no need to. Like, if it gets dicey, sure. But, you know, you've been going to them quite a bit. I just didn't see a need for it.
Yeah. I don't want to make this a habit. And he used Hader and Abreu a lot last year in four-run games. He kind of borrowed it from Dusty Baker. And then he spent the entire spring training saying he wants to reduce the workload of those guys, specifically Abreu. I think led the American League in appearances last year.
I think that sounds right. It's close.
So he said this all spring training, we want to limit his exposure and all that. The simple way to do that is stop using them in four-run leads. Stop using them whenever you're down two runs or more, maybe even one run or more. But more specifically, do not use him whenever you're up by four runs. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to make a habit of it. I will defend Espada a little bit here, and that's not a habit that I have. They hadn't pitched since the 19th. So they had two full days off, both of them. They both had two full days off. So if you're ever going to pitch those guys with a four-run lead, do it when they've had multiple days off. And then there is an off day tomorrow. So you have that built in. So I will say that in this specific scenario that it was okay. But I do not want it to be a habit all year where Josh Hader and Brian Abreu are being used in every four-run game. Can't happen. This specific instance, I see what you're doing there. Makes a little bit of sense. I can forgive you for this one. Do not make
like
a habit of it.
I don't like it simply because of the fact that, you're like you said, whether he's going to reduce the, and he should, reduce the amount of times he has to use them this year. But if it's not a hold and a save situation, and it looks like the game is firmly in your grasp, until you bring in someone that plays gas can and lights it on fire, mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. And I understand the days off and stuff. You know, you got beat in a one-run game on Sunday night, and then you had a big enough lead you didn't need them in the first one against Toronto. But overall, I just feel like you're going to use them so many times this year that I don't need to do those things. I think it's unnecessary.
How many days, though, before they have to be on the mound?
Like
you need to get them out there, yeah, in a game probably, situation.
I mean, probably, you know, three.
Okay. See, and I think that's the fear that Espada had. And I'm hoping that this was like workshop before the game. And I trust that it was. I think the fear in this instance was, because they should be meeting about this every day. And I assume that they are. Like who could we use in four run games tonight? You know, eighth inning, we're up by four. They should be playing all those scenarios out before the game ever tips. And I trust that they are. I trust that they do that. Because the fear is if you don't use them yesterday, and then today's a blowout game,
yeah,
and then there's a day off tomorrow, now you're going, what, 4 or 5 days without using them. That's why I'm willing to give allowance for this specific scenario, but like big picture, grand scheme of it, I'm completely on your side.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but if you got to get them some work on the side on a Thursday or a Friday, or if it does start to stack up, okay. But I just, like you said, I don't know if he finished the season, but most of the season, Abreu led the entire league in appearances. And you're going to probably need him and Hader a whole hell of a lot between now and the end of the season anyway, that I would just rather early in the season not overuse him. Even with a Hader going two innings early in the season already, having done it already again, and you know sometimes you do that. I just want to border on the side of not overuse too soon, because I think from a lot of guys' cases, Blanco's one of them, Taylor Scott's another one, where I think they exhausted him in the first half of the season last year. I don't want that to be a trend with other pitchers.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I feel like they thought that if they didn't use him yesterday, both of them yesterday, because they both pitched on the 19th, that if they didn't use them yesterday and there's a day off tomorrow, that they would be pigeonholed to use them today to give them work. So I'm hoping that it was the scenario that dictated their usage and not we're going to use them in every four-run game. And we'll have to wait and see how it plays out the rest of the year to see what their philosophy is this season. Do you see this Chandler Rome report that Cam Smith was taking fly balls in center field?
No.
He was taking fly balls in center field.
Now, weren't they worried pregame about his knee?
Oh, I think it was just like sore. It wasn't like structural or anything like that.
Yeah, because didn't he got hit, right?
Yeah, he got hit.
Yeah, because I was going to say, because they were looking at DeCenzo's thumb and they were looking at his knee. That's interesting. I mean, look, lately, I need him to slow down once he makes a play. He doesn't have to do a freaking Carl Lewis on the way to the dugout on a dead sprint. But he showed a lot of speed in the outfield. For a big boy, he can get it moving. So I've been impressed in some of the way he's covered ground. I don't know if he's a center fielder, but, I mean, Aaron Judge plays it, so.
I don't think it would be look, I don't even think it's ever going to happen. I think it's more of one of those, can he play out there in, like, a desperate situation in dire straits? But maybe with one of the ground ball guys, if the offense is struggling, maybe it's something that they look at. Like, it's another way to get DeCenzo in the lineup that we didn't think about yesterday. Yep. Now, again, I think the chances of him actually, like, starting a game out there are very slim.
Mm-hmm.
But in the article, Rome, like, put up some, like, you know, some of the fancy stats. Apparently Cam Smith of guys in right field has, like, the fourth fastest speed to baseballs. So the Astros are thinking that skill set could translate over to center field, that he has the range out there, which is pretty crazy considering he's never played in right field outside of, like, the Cape Cod League.
No, I think that's kind of, as we were just kind of, and I hadn't seen Chandler's article, just kind of just discussing this organically, I was like, well, maybe when we started talking about how do you get DeCenzo more at bats to see if, you know, that bat stays consistent enough that you need him in the lineup. Maybe that's one of the things that they are contemplating. Is there a scenario where he plays right and Cam plays center, and then whether it's Altuve or Yordan in left, that's your outfield because of the offensive prowess?
Yeah, I think for now it's like, let's see. Let's see what this looks like versus any plans of actually doing it. But it is interesting because, I mean, if it crosses your mind and then you're seeing what it looks like on the field, it's one step closer to coming into fruition. So
I think this was born by analytics when you said that, you know, he has the fourth best time and I think it probably put a light bulb on for Dana and went, hey, wait a minute, maybe we're onto something here. Maybe we should start hitting some balls to him in center field.
Like, I don't think he's ever going to be – look, again, I'd be shocked if he ever starts a game in center field. But even if he gets to the point where they're like, yeah, you can play center field, you can start center field, I don't think he's ever going to be the everyday center fielder.
Right. I think the toughest thing, too, is, I mean, the other thing, too, is that, you know, I'm always the one that was thinking that Jake should have been the fourth outfielder, but the way Jake's been hitting right now is probably not the time to put Jake on the bench.
Look, maybe they get to something like that. Like, maybe okay, fly ball guys, we absolutely have to have Jake start the games where our fly ball guys are pitching. What about when Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown are pitching, though, and they get so many ground balls? Like, can we get away with Cam Smith playing out there for six innings? And then if you have a late lead, okay, Jake, you come in. Cam, you bump over to right field. Like, it gives them options. It gives them flexibility in case the situation arises at some point. I don't think we're anywhere close to seeing it. I'd still be stunned if we do see it. But interesting nonetheless that a guy who is like a, you know, corner infielder playing pretty well in right field, and they're even kicking around the idea of potentially playing in center field if the situation comes up. Pretty crazy. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Willa Bits coming up next. You don't know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be gold. Gold, Jerry, gold. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville. He is right here in the Med Center in Houston, Texas. He has a variety of different ways he can help you, your significant other, whoever you think might be someone that kind of fits the bill. But he does plastic surgery. He does Botox. He does spa treatments. What he's done for me and several others here at the station is he's done the NeoGraft procedure, and he's done PRP treatments. And platelet-rich plasma, which you hear in sports terms, is normally shoulders, knees, joints, things like that. It's also great for your hair. And essentially, in lawn terms, PRP is like fertilizing a lawn that has grass on it, but the grass isn't as lush and thick as it used to be. And that PRP treatment can kind of stimulate growth, and you can get kind of your hair that you had back in your heyday or when it was at its best. From the standpoint of the NeoGraft procedure, It's quite simply, I had a consultation with Doc and his staff, and they explained it to me, that you're scientifically never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how much you go bald in other areas. So because of that kind of genetic code, Doc Linville said, why don't I take some of that hair you're never going to lose and put it where you've already lost your hair? Maybe it's your hairline in front or a bald spot on top and back. Regardless of where you need it, he can do it. And when he does it, you see the hair growing there immediately. You can see it. And in 6 to 9 months, you get the final results, and it is a game changer. That's why I encourage you to do what I did and get a free consultation. People off the street pay $150 for that thing, but you get it for free because you're listening to me. You listen to me, you want to talk to him, you go to 975hair.com. and sign up for that free consultation. No money out of pocket, no signing on the dotted line, no cash to be paid, no commitment to be made. You just get a Q&A with Doc and his staff. They explain everything to you. They show you pictures before and after of people like me, and you can make the decision for yourself. I did it. I could not be happier with it, and I'm telling you right now, it's something you should consider doing. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous spin.
Let's play Buzzkill Branham.
Buzzkill Branham, you guys will have to be the judges on this. Sometimes I'm too harsh. Sometimes I'm too much of a curmudgeon, too much of an old man. Some texters call me the D word. Some texters call me the A word. And that's not even the worst thing I've been called. So you guys will have to talk me down if I'm going in too hard on this, or if I'm not. You know, it's why are you getting a rise out of that, Branham? Did you see all of this stuff yesterday after the Astros won? Look, Astros won, that's great. We always want the Astros to win. Texter, how about the Stros? 12-11 on the season. Reached their 12th win last year on May 4th. They were 12-20 last year. They're actually 12-24 last year. After 23 games last year, they were 7-16. So good. Look, the Astros have a 5-game improvement from where they were a year ago. They're 2 games back in the AL West. We love it. We love it. Everybody was celebrating the Joe Espada, not everybody, but the team account was forcing it down our throats. The milestone victory for Joe Espada. The milestone of 100 wins. Why is this a milestone? He's in his second year. If he would have done it in year one, let's celebrate it. It took him 184 games. He's got a 54 win percentage. Dusty Baker had 100 wins as an Astro manager far before Joe Espada did. Probably not AJ Hinch because he took over a bad team. But this shouldn't be a celebration. I understand that it's a nice round number. There's good feng shui to 100 wins. 100 wins matters in baseball when you do it in a single season. Why are we celebrating 100 out of 184 games that ended with a victory? This is a little much for me.
I did not see that.
It's everywhere on their account.
Yeah, I didn't see it. That's a bit surprising to me because I get it if it's like a milestone, you know, your 100th. Victory in pitching, or you know, your 100 or your 100 200 home runs, and I know those, yeah, everybody's always trying to say, you know, track down those balls or don't throw them to fans and do all. I think it happened recently either for the Astros or someone they were playing, but regardless, from a manager's perspective, unless you're on a really bad baseball team and you're just trying to like save face for, you know, a manager that's bridging the gap while you suck or you're middle of the road, I never thought that was a thing, 100 wins for a manager.
The Astros admin tweeted this out earlier today. It was the graphic I just tagged you in it so you could take a look. Okay. Big moment for Skip, !! Is it? I mean, it's cool. I mean, I guess I'd rather have 100 managerial wins than not have 100 managerial wins. But is it worth the graphic on 184 games? I don't know about that. A lot of people thought their regular season last year was a disappointment, frankly. The graphic, 100th managerial win, Joe Espada's autograph on it with, you know, and they smack a sponsor logo on there too, which is maybe why they did it. Now that I think about it, maybe it was an easy way to get their legendary moment from their beer company that they use.
Yeah, that's really crazy to me because, like you said, I mean, I think at the end of the regular season last year, the reaction was, we did what they said we couldn't do. I mean, we were so far, you know, dead and gone and buried and in a hole that we were never supposed to be in this position. Thank God we not only made the playoffs, but we somehow squeaked out the division. I don't think that anybody was going, Joe Espada is the guy for the job, and they are just, you know, steamrolling down the railroad tracks. This one to me, yeah, I missed all this last night, but I guess I'm kind of glad that I did. That's kind of ridiculous to celebrate 100 wins for, especially like the run the Astros have been on and the team that he took over.
In a second year. I'm reading the comments here because I'm curious what the fan base thought. And you have like your fans like, congrats, Joe.
Right.
Off to a good start. Yeah, go get them. Baseball emojis. Here's one from Strodog. Get me Mark DeRosa, not some overrated third base coach. Dez in the comments of this graphic. Only a tiny percentage of MLB managers never reach 100 wins. How about winning a playoff series at least? There you go. Like, it's one thing to celebrate it in your second year. Like, how many managers in baseball have had 2 years and didn't win 100 games? Probably none of them. None of them.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, to me, it just all comes back to the team you inherited. Like, if you're taking right. over for a manager that gets fired and the team is subpar, then, okay, now you're looking for things to kind of celebrate the manager that you're trying to convince people is the guy that turn it around and get the job done right. The team that he inherited that really underperformed for most of the year last year. And then even the team that he went to spring training with this year was good enough where most people were thinking this team's either going to win the division or can be competing for the division. I just don't see that.
Yeah. It was a weird celebration. It was a weird one.
Yeah. I didn't know where you were. You know, I didn't see it. So I didn't know where you were going with this. But yeah, 100 wins for a manager seems like just a, okay, any day that ends in Y that this could happen in, yay, team, let's go, but not something that you give them the game ball and the lineup card and put it on the scoreboard.
This was also a media relation thing, which I can understand a media relation doing it. Like, it's a good thing to put in a game note.
Does that mean he goes to the dais for Gene?
Berman tweeted what the Astros PR did. With a win tonight, manager Espada has won his 100th game as manager. His first win as a manager also came against Toronto. Like, that's PR. That's game note stuff. Like, I don't have any issues with that. MLB Espanol, 100 victory, Scomo manager. The MLB Spanish Twitter handle is tweeting out congratulations here for Joe Espada. Locked On Astros podcast, one of their little teasers to listen to their podcast, which H-Town Wheelhouse does a great job. Eric does a great job. But one of their little teasers on there to come listen to us, Joe Espada gets win number 100. Like, this was going around yesterday. Javier Gonzalez covers the Astros, asked about the 100th win in his career. Like, it took him 184 games. Like, this is not a celebration here. So I'm not losing my mind. This is a fair one.
No, you're not losing your mind at all.
Buzzkill Branham about.
Like, if you and I were having a discussion about, like, milestones for people in sports, and you asked me, what's the milestones for a manager? Your first win, absolutely. Has happened to be a no-hitter. That was fantastic, okay? Then your first division title probably is something where that's a big deal. Obviously, a league championship series and or a World Series, those are big deals. And then when you start getting down the road, you start approaching greats, or you get to, like, you know, guys that have been in the game long enough to get to 1,000, or, you know, you start trying to catch some of the greatest managers in baseball like Dusty was doing a few years ago. Sure, but 100 wins? Like you said, I mean, to me, even if you're a mediocre team, you get that midway through year two?
Yeah,
I would have never thought that's something.
I mean, mediocre teams get 81 wins a year. All you have to do is win 19 games the next year, and you're a 100-win manager. YouTube Keith, I just looked it up. Brad Mills and Cecil Cooper both won over 100 games their first 2 years here. Elite Company, this Joe Espada, Brad Mills and Cecil Cooper. He has joined the illustrious list of
those two managers.
He's no Bo
Porter, damn it.
Texter, last year was great. Come back to win the division. I give him credit for that. But I'm not going to sit here and give him credit for 100 wins in 184 games.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you win when you win your first division title as manager, absolutely, I understand it. If you give him the ball in the lineup card, that's fantastic. Great.
Yeah.
But 100 wins in a 162 game season in year two? Come on, man.
Did they pop the champagne? Did they put up the tarps over the lockers so none of the lockers got dirty in their champagne celebration? Like are they planning a parade for this? Like it's a little much. SVT on Twitter, not bad for a rook. Salute emoji. He ain't a rook. I would agree. No. It wouldn't be bad for a rook. Then we could celebrate it. But he's in his second year. Colleen, how about get the lineup right for a change? Colleen seems like my kind of people. I like the cut of Colleen's cloth. A couple more texts on this. First 100 is the first step, then 200 and so on. Thank you. Appreciate
God,
the math lesson there. That's a crying shame. 100 wins out of 184 games. Now he can celebrate 100 wins in a season, like you said. But 100 wins out of 184 tries, that don't get you in the playoffs. Well, I got in the playoffs last year. Texter, so Joe is 16 losses away from 100. Laughing face emoji. Yeah, he is. He's only 16 games above 500 in his managerial career.
You think Topo Chico and the coaching staff got together and got him a couple of gifts?
What did you call him?
Topo Chico.
It's racist.
No, it's not.
I think so. I think that would qualify as racist.
Whatever.
I think it would. 713-780-3776. Is that racist? Paris Cheek is probably sending guys home when they shouldn't be sent, and he's probably holding guys at third when they should be sent. That's what Paris Chica's up to. Right now,
yeah, he's had a little, he's got a couple of crosshairs on him since the start of the season. But I mean, seriously, all kidding aside, I'm really kind of taken aback by the fact that the website and the team itself is celebrating 100 wins.
Did anyone know before last night's game that Joe Espada was at win number 99?
Like, no.
Was
that, no chance.
Was that a no. single thing that anyone talked about?
If not force-fed by their communications department, like Jeremy said, for everybody, I guarantee you that almost every member in the media, even the diehard beat writers, weren't going, hey, it's a big game tomorrow night. Joe could win a hundo.
Yeah, that to me is the, like, the breaking point of, is this meaningful whatsoever? Is this a meaningful milestone? Is before you broke it, was anyone tracking this? Was anyone...
Yeah, the media people conscious do, of this? They put like the managerial record on their game notes, which is their job. Like, I'm not knocking them at all. But other than that, no, nobody. Maybe Mrs. Espada. Maybe she had a nice dinner planned after, you know, him winning his 100th game. Maybe a steak dinner. But no.
You think the guys covering the team, even if they looked at the record going in, do you think that it's something like a light went off and they went, oh, wait a minute, got to make that a note?
Yeah, that Brian McTaggart was like, I have my lead.
Unbelievable.
100th win. Bo Ryan Porter. Gusto after the game was like, man, I was just so happy to get number 100 for Skip.
Yeah, Gusto was like, I'm ticked off. I didn't have the chance to give him his 100 tomorrow when I'm on the mound.
Oh. I just said Gusto because it was the funny guy to be like, man, finally got it for Espada. Josh,
that's why Abreu and Hader were in the game up by four.
Yeah, had to
they
lock
were trying
it in.
To lock down win number 100.
Yeah, it was a must win.
Bo Porter, 110 wins. Preston Gomez, who managed the Astros in the mid-70s, 128 wins. Grady Hatton in the late 60s, 164 wins. Brad Mills, 171. Cecil Cooper, 171. Harry Kraft, 191. Jimmy Williams, 215. So just some of the fine company that Joe Espada is joining. Houston Astro managers with at least 100 wins. Let's give Espada a round of applause. We're sitting here knocking him. We should be congratulating him on having a win percentage of 546. 536. I oversold it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I did something that Brian McDonald was not capable of doing. I have booked Lance Zierlein on our show. We'll hear from Lance next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I'm sitting here celebrating that I got Lance on and Brian couldn't, even though he's the producer of the show. We are the talent of the show, though. And we're efforting Lance. We hope to get him on soon, Lance Zierlein, perennial draft expert, but that's okay. That's okay. There's a lot of texters that have some things to say. Jeremy, Jeremy, I believe you could coach this team and get 100 wins. I think I could. I think I could win. Could you Could you have won 100 games with this team in your first 184?
I think so.
I think you could have.
Yeah.
I think you could have.
Might have done it, not, maybe not all last year, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you would have more wins than Espada, but I think you could get 100 wins in 184 games.
With this roster, and especially the one last year?
Well, yeah. I think you could do it. Yeah. I think you could do it. I think I could do it. I think Mapes could do it. I think we can all do it. You are making a bigger deal about this than anyone else did, including the 100-win celebration. Yeah, but it's fun. Yeah. It's a lot of joy I get out of it. That's why the people call me a fun guy.
Because BMAC would have lost credit for games that he had to take off.
Yeah, BMAC, there would have been a lot of interim managers.
Yeah, he would have had, like, BMAC. Yeah, interim manager for the tonight's game because BMAC needs a day off.
Cintrone would have got to, like, 15. Yeah.
He needs, whatchamacallit, load management.
Yeah. Yeah. 100 wins in 184 games.
It's a legendary moment, guys. It's a Budweiser legendary moment.
Why don't you think that they did it, like, right after the game? Like, right after the post-game handshake? Like, bring them out, like, what are they called? Like
a
commemorative, whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Maybe they'll do it tonight before the game.
Yeah.
Joe Espada, like addresses the crowd.
Yeah. Tonight's pregame celebration behind home plate is manager Joe Espada celebrating his 100th win last night.
They give him a bronze bust of the 100 emoji.
I mean, now that they control their own TV network even more so, this is probably a TV feature. This is probably should have been the post-game interview. This is something I've dealt with before where I'm surprised they didn't do more.
I want to go back and watch the post game now to see if they talked about it. You know that they did.
You think?
I'm pretty sure that they did because they go to Espada. They go to the Espada press conference, post game presser, and they mentioned it in the presser. I bet you it came up.
I don't know that TK, well, they see it in the notes probably, but and Blummer's pretty good about following social media while the game's going on, but unless they caught it on social media, I would think.
No, they would have known. They read their game notes. I mean, they're reading. Which broadcaster in the history of broadcasting hasn't read game notes?
I didn't know if it was in the game notes.
It had to have been. I mean, they put the managerial record. Like, it's a tidbit. Like, it absolutely would have been in there.
I would think that for sure Kev and whoever was doing postgame with him last night, Brian or whoever it was probably talking about it.
I bet you they did, yeah.
Do you think they did it in a passing mention way? Like, oh, and, you know, what a way
I'm going to go as far to say that they congratulated him.
I would believe that.
I want to go as far to say that after or before they tossed, either when they tossed to the pregame, or I'm sorry, when they tossed to the postgame presser, or they took it out of the postgame presser, I'm going to go as far to say that they congratulated Espada on 100 wins. I have it DVR'd. I'll go try to watch it during the break.
I do too, yeah.
I'll go try to watch it during the break, see if they did, because I'm willing to bet that they did.
I think they have to. I think especially if that's the audio you start with, because normally when they join the press conference, if that's already been talked about or if that's something that they catch, then I think you have to.
Also check if Espada's jersey is wet from the champagne showers that he got.
From the Topo Chico.
Yeah, Topo Chico, yes.
If 409 Josh, if win 100 had come during the World Series season, that would have been worth discussing. Not really. The World Series would have been worth discussing. Jasper, I knew Joe had 100 wins because I looked at the back of his baseball card.
That's really good. Well played, Jasper.
Fake Tony Stark, if he gets to 200 wins this season, are we celebrating? So we have to win 100 more games this year out of, what, 138?
Hell yeah.
I think people would celebrate. Yeah, they got to 112.
Yeah, we'll celebrate that, Fake Tony Stark. I'll buy you a steak dinner, in fact, if he does that. That would be something. Did you hear the news that Espada might win 101 games in 185 tries tonight if he wins? Says
that'd
a texter.
Be crazy.
Every manager is going to celebrate their first 100. Yeah, they probably will. We're going to mock and ridicule them.
On their own, unless they're force-fed by the team to do it.
You guys couldn't win 5 wins in a 12-game Little League season. Well, it depends on my roster. If I have a good roster, I could.
First of all, I've already done that, so you can just step off that.
Look at that flex.
There we go.
Right there.
I won 5 games in 12-game Little League season, Texter. I drafted a Little League baseball team once when I was in Little League, and we went undefeated. Boom. There you go. How about that for
Executive
of the year. This is the start of his second year in 2 months. Good job, Joe, says the texter. Clear the shelves. This is winning a Marconi for sure. I don't know about that. I don't think anything we do is Marconi worthy. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's see if we can get Busy Lance on the line. Me doing something that Brian was not capable of doing. 713-780-ESPN. Fingers crossed. conversation with a perennial draft expert on the eve of the NFL draft. Huge get. Lance Erline next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.